All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the resumption of a discussion that I'm having that I'm calling Race, a View from Several Sides. Going right into it as we hear an interview about race in America.
Honestly, most of it is based on what I see on the news, which unfortunately is a lot of negative.
What I'm saying is I'm part of the problem. Because I don't know how to solve the problem, and so what do? I ignore it.
Do you think a lot of people do that?
Yeah, sure. Well, certainly it's much easier to not know people. If you don't know people, you don't have to accommodate people.
These Americans enjoy a privilege. They can avoid the unpalatable. They live comfortable lives in nice areas because they're white.
And the advantages white people enjoy, the privileges they have, are endless. Academics and educators now believe it's the lack of awareness within the white community of these inbuilt advantages that taints white attitudes to race.
So white privilege is growing up in a society not understanding that not everyone has benefits that are unearned. As a result of being in white skin.
Martha Berry,
it may mean that because my name is Martha Berry, people are going to see that as a white name and say, let's get her an interview.
Martha works for a nonprofit organization that helps clients and businesses overcome racial bias.
It would be great to hear what prompted you to come to this class.
Today, she's reviewing the progress made by three former students.
White males actually have a culture. You know, they think white male is the culture. Right, there's a story that says fish don't know they swim in water, right?
Yeah.
So white males don't know they live in a white male dominated culture. And that was the biggest awakening. And once you knew that, then you could understand that there was institutionalized racism.
It forces you to reflect as a white person on what your role is in working to eliminate racism.
You feel that moment of, I am so clueless because I've just assumed that many people have these same opportunities. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I intellectually knew differently, but you realize for me at that moment how isolated I was in that.
Good morning, Wisconsin. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sachs.
This is one of the most important men in right-wing talk radio in Wisconsin. Charlie Sykes has a legion of listeners, and most are white, suburban, and Republican.
Do you think many of your listeners understand the concept of white privilege? Have they come across that idea?
I think they've heard the term. I don't think they fully grasp it. I'm not sure that I fully grasp it. I actually had a caller the other day who asked me about that, and I asked him to try to define it.
And the caller did a pretty good job.
Well, I've noticed that I have a few of African-American friends. One of my good friends, he's been pulled over at least 15 times, and I have never been pulled over before.
Okay, so that you think that is your white privilege? Maybe it's because, I don't know, just the theory here, you don't speed, you don't violate traffic laws, is that possible?
He doesn't do any of those things.
All right.
One of the things that we're seeing in American politics is you have a lot of white, working class, poor people who do not feel that they are privileged because of their race.
So, as far as you're concerned, there is no such thing as white privilege. It doesn't exist?
No, there's white privilege, there's all kinds of privilege. There's a reluctance to go back to the racialization of all of these issues. I mean, we do have an African-American president in this country. After a while, the race card has been played so much that it has lost its value.
The election of Barack Obama distorted the debate on discrimination.
Let me ask you something about that. Charlie Sykes said that after the race card has been played so many times, it loses its value. What does it mean to play the race card? Most of the time when I hear white people talk about the race card, playing the race card, they're using that as a negative way of slamming people for crying out against racial injustice. I remember speaking with someone some years ago who, a former coworker years ago, someplace where I worked before, years ago. And on the news, there were some various discussions about race. And one of my white coworkers pointed out how tired he was of hearing about racial injustice and racial matters. And I definitely understood where he was coming from. I really did. But I looked at him and I asked this question. If you think you're tired of hearing about racism, how tired do you think black people are of experiencing racism? And fortunately, to his credit, and I mean this when I say to his credit, he stopped and he pondered that for a few seconds. And then he said, you know what? I never thought of it that way. I never thought of it that way until you mentioned that. And that is an excellent point. You make an excellent point. I never thought of it that way, but I'll be thinking about it that way from now on. I'll be thinking of it that way from now on. I truly applaud him for having heard me. Because he could have been so cold-hearted that he could have been like Charlie Sykes was in this interview with this black man who was asking him about race relations. And Charlie Sykes, after conceding that there is indeed such a thing as white privilege, which he knows means white people are given special advantages based on the fact, purely on the fact that they're white. Excuse me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying or even suggesting that all people handle race that way. But there are, as far as the institutional practice of America is concerned, there is indeed a reality that is called white privilege. Many white people, including Charlie Sykes, are fully aware of that. Not all white people will admit it, but white people are aware of the reality of white privilege. Isn't it interesting that immediately after conceding that there is a reality called white privilege, Charlie Sykes then turned around and started talking about people playing the race card? And I do know that people bring up race when they're crying out against racial injustice, whether that has to do with piling all kinds of garbage by black neighborhoods, other neighborhoods of color, racial injustice when it comes to, as they alluded to in the clip, black people being pulled over so much more often than white people. Racial injustice of children, black children, being expelled from school, from kindergarten, sometimes just for doing something as simple as not sitting still when told to do so, whereas white people in the same school, white children in the same school, will simply have a very nice, pleasant letter sent to their parents about the child biting and or hitting other children regularly. Racial injustice. What does it mean to play the race card when crying out against racial injustice? People talk about the inequality of income. It's bad enough for the nation overall, but especially for people of color and especially the black community. And we hear discussions of black people with $125,000 incomes who are turned down just as much for a home loan as white people with a $25,000 income. These are real issues that have real ramifications on generations and generations of people. It is systemic and institutional racism that has been a part of America since America was called America. Since this land came to be known as America. It's not going away. We still have people working hard to make it harder and harder and harder for black people to vote. And you point out these injustices, this racism, and people talk about, they call that playing the race card, or are they talking about something else? What are they talking about when it's pointed out that for various reasons? It is more difficult for black people to be accepted into college than for white people. A lot of it happening to do more with finances than anything else, but there are various reasons for it. But then they find out over and over, you get black people into college, and if you give them the support that they need, black people do just as well in college as white people. People from the inner cities do just as well, even without having done well on the SAT. If they did well in school, that, they're finding, is a better predictor of how well they would do in college. Playing the race card. What does that really have to do with playing the race card? Forward Thinking. That's been part of the program Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. from the beginning. We bring programming that is innovative and that encourages us to